Unsolved Mysteries. Out of deference to persons who may still be living, character names in some of these true unsolved mysteries have been changed. Few mysteries can compare in their intrigue with those mysteries that deal with the mind. And he is bold indeed who says that he understands that realm in which the mind holds sway, as witness the extraordinary case of the hypnotist. The scene is a famous newspaper correspondent's home in New York. The occasion? The publishing of a book. A book dealing with better than 20 years of headline hunting. And Bob Howard, the newspaper man, is entertaining a few friends at dinner. Most of the guests linger over their coffee, but Jim Watson, another newspaper man, stands by the window looking at the new book.
I say, Bob, I don't find my favorite story in here. Didn't you send it in?
Yes, I did, but, well, it was leave it out and not get the book published.
What do you mean, Bob?
Well, my publisher said that they didn't believe the story, and they were sure the public wouldn't, and so, as I said, I either had to leave out the story or try to get some other publishing house to print it.
But you have plenty proof that the thing happened.
Well, that's what I thought. But do you realize that there was no official record ever kept of the affair, and most of the men who were concerned are dead?
I suppose that's true. It's a shame, though. That was a swell story.
Hey, what is this story? I'd like to hear it.
So would I.
Go ahead, Bob. I can always stand hearing it again.
Well, it will certainly give you plenty to think about. It was during the war, and I was assigned to cover the Palestine front. What with fever and everything, the British losses had been heavy. And all the way from the ancient city of Gaza to the Damascus Gate, the Turks were in a very good defensive position. I'd never sent any news dispatches to my paper that the commanding officer hadn't put his okay on. And the result was that I was in on quite a few conferences. It was night, typical Oriental night, and the staff officers were seated in the old man's tent discussing the situation.
The situation is now, gentlemen, we daren't advance. Just how many of these fever and dysentery cases will be ready for active duty in the next 30 days, I don't know. We'll hear later on that. McPherson will be over from the hospital with a report. But the main thing is, we don't want to spend the hot weather here. The Turks are firmly entrenched, and yet we don't want to retreat.
No possibility of reinforcement, sir?
Not a chance. They need all they can get on the Western Front.
Well, if we could only get behind them at, say, Elgin.
Yes, Colonel, if we could, but we can't. And hoping won't change it.
Colonel McPherson reporting, sir.
Yes. Well, Mac, what is the medical report?
Afraid you can't count on very many, sir. Not for 90 days, at least. Those cases are pretty bad, but...
Yes, Mac?
We'll hesitate to tell you this, but... We've just had a... something happened.
Yes, go ahead.
But I'd rather you come over to the hospital yourself and see for yourself, sir.
All of us?
Yes. Yes, I'm a doctor, but there's something happened over there that I don't know anything about.
15 minutes later, the staff officers are seated in the medical officer's tent. Through the mosquito netting, the long rows of cots are barely visible in the dim light of a lantern swinging from the tent pole. Colonel McPherson enters the tent, and behind him a nurse.
A nurse? Will you send one of the orderlies for Achmet?
Yes, sir.
And have the patient move to the officer's tent.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, you know we've been trying to do something for these shell-shocked cases. You know, these fellows who can't turn to the left or to the right or who can't sit down without someone assisting them. You know the type.
Of course we do. We certainly do.
Well, recently we've been trying hypnosis, and Achmet the Persian has been very successful. But tonight...
Here is Achmet, Colonel.
Oh, splendid, splendid. Come this way, gentlemen.
Gentlemen,
this is Achmet. Achmet has studied medicine at Hamadan, and he's studied hypnosis under the famous German scientist who has taken a rest cure at Anzali.
Here is the patient, sir.
Oh, yes.
And the hospital records.
Thank you, nurse. Know the records. Name, Brown. Rank, corporal. Regiment, Army Service Corps Mechanical Transport. Classification, driver. That all correct?
Yes, sir.
Where were you born?
I was born in South Kensington, sir.
You talk no foreign languages?
Not me, sir. Not a blooming one, sir.
You're perfectly willing to be placed under hypnosis by Dr. Achmet?
Yes, sir. How is, sir?
All right, Achmet.
You will sit down here, please. Now, close your eyes. Now, breathe deeply.
Achmet runs his slender fingers over Brown's forehead. The tenseness leaves Brown's body, and with a sigh, almost a sigh of relief, Brown settles back in the chair. Fascinated, the officers watch Achmet, who steps back, folds his arms, and fixes his gaze steadily on the man in the camp chair.
Your name?
Cedric.
You know where you are?
In the Holy Land.
You know why you are here?
To destroy the unchristian Saracens.
Who is your leader?
Richard.
Good heavens, he thinks he is in the Crusade.
Quiet. Do not get him excited, please. Thank you. Now, Cedric, tell me, do you know this territory?
Yes, every inch of it.
Think deeply. Is there another road leading to Elgi?
Yes. Get the parchment and pens, and I will show. It lies beyond El Man. But parchment, I will show you.
Paper and pencil is placed before him. With eyes staring ahead and seeing nothing, Brown takes the pencil and begins tracing lines on the paper. Amazement fills the faces of the officers as the map takes shape. They hold their breath as the pencil stops.
Here, hidden among the red sandstone rocks, lies the other road to Elgi.
The other road to Elgi. And victory.
What an amazing story. I can hardly believe
it. It is amazing.
The amazing part of it was that the rough map that Brown drew that night covered most of the territory that was fought over during the finish of the war.
And the map was accurate? Accurate enough for the British to use in getting to Elgi?
It certainly was. In less than 24 hours, columns of infantry had moved into the Red Sandstone Defile, and Johnny Turk realized too late that ancient Gaza was not, as they had supposed, an impregnable city.
Then was this Brown a reincarnation of Cedric?
Oh, I hardly think so. No, I don't believe that is the explanation.
Then you have an explanation.
Not my explanation, but I can assure you that I went searching for one.
In just a moment, you will hear a solution to the mystery of the hypnotist.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, inasmuch as any solution must of necessity be supposition, liberties of time, place, and character have been taken in the solution for which you've been waiting. The scene is once again the home of the newspaper correspondent, Bob Howard, who continues his story.
Quite possibly. If someone had told me the story, I would not have believed it. But here I was, sitting there, listening to an uneducated mechanical transport driver, speaking in the voice and personality of a man called Cedric, who'd undoubtedly served in the Crusades under Richard the Lionhearted.
There was no possible way in which the transport driver could have known of that defile through the mountain?
Not a chance. Even our intelligence didn't know of it. Although later on we did find a Bible student who pointed out that the children of Israel had used the defile in their fight against the Canaanites.
You said that you went searching for an explanation.
Yes, and found that there were other instances of similar happenings. The solution would seem to be that the spirit of this Cedric, who may have been killed in the Crusades, still lingered on in that vicinity after death.
You mean that the spirit of the departed Cedric could remain in that place through all these hundreds of years?
Yes. If you admit an external existence after death, then there's nothing remarkable in the spirit being there for hundreds of years, any more so than that spirit remaining there for only a few hours.
Well, I suppose that's true, all right.
Now, the hypnotist, in placing the transport driver in a trance, removed from him all control of his brain and left his mind a condition into which the mind of Cedric could for a time enter.
So that the mind of this Cedric could use the voice of the transport driver to make known his identity and also his knowledge of the territory.
Yes. I found out in my investigations that there had been a similar happening in France. And as a matter of fact, right now in Hollywood, California, a group of medical men are investigating a young boy who not only seems to be the reincarnated brain of a long-dead Persian, but this boy can, while blindfolded, read and do almost anything that he can when he is not blindfolded.
Yes, it was his ability to do things blindfolded that first attracted the doctors to examine him.
Yes. And if it were not for that fact, the medical men probably would scoff at the reincarnation idea. I mean, the idea that this boy could have any connection with a Persian long dead.
Well, it certainly gives one something to think about.
Yes, makes me wonder who and where I was in some dim... and.
Thank you.